Well, it's good to be back. I was thinking two things this morning. One, that I'm glad I'm not at Norristown New Life, where they don't have air conditioning and you're not allowed to turn the fans on, which was really hot last week. I know, right? And secondly, that I'm so glad that we decided to open. There's churches like Spring Mount and Methacton that they're still doing virtual church and still doing things, and it's just nice to be here at church. It feels like an intermission, a refreshing, a strengthening time that we can come and just, you know, just pause, right, in God's presence and with our brothers and sisters and hear each other talk about their lives, and it's just nice. It's nice to be here. So I did not ask permission to share. Jen's been doing on Facebook. She's been doing these purity in intermission posts. You want to share with us why you're doing these purity intermission posts?
First of all, I think it's a nice break because I do say a lot of things on all social media where I'm just like angry and upset with things and I want things to be better and I'm just like calling things out saying, oh my gosh, I can't believe this is happening, and then it's like, but here's a flower, it's a purity intermission. And it's not an original phrase to me. Somebody else made it up as far as it was a nursing thing. They were complaining about staffing on a social media thing for nurses. And then it was like, and here's a purity intermission of my donation. And back to complaining. Purity intermission. It's just that.
Yes. So pictures of flowers and kitty cats and gardens and vegetables and things like that that remind us of God's goodness, right, and God's presence, just choosing to pause for a moment and just reconnect with goodness. For those of you that joined the Tuesday night Bible study, not this week, but the last week before that, we talked a little bit about God's glory and God's goodness, the story from Exodus 33, and I'm going to just continue with this thought a little bit because I'm not quite done with it. I'm still learning things about it. And I just want to tell you this morning about two glory or goodness intermissions that I had this week. One was from a phone call from a woman from, I think she attends Rocky Ridge Mennonite Church, Rocky Ridge or Rock Hill, one of the two. She's a woman who's been joining our Wednesday prayer times for the conference, which I expected to be, I mean, the conference is like 8,000 people or whatever, right? So I expected it to be like a big gathering, but it ended up being almost every week, like 3 or 4 people. But this woman, Laura, has joined every week. And she called me this week and she said, I've been meeting, she said, with a woman with 3 children who she said, it's like a therapy ranch where there's horses, and she goes and talks to the moms while the kids are riding. And so she said she talked to this mother, a Catholic woman who has 3 children, and she said, I was talking to her, and she's like, just out of the blue, like God had been doing this background work in his life, and just out of the blue, she asked me, how do I accept Christ? And Laura was like, she said, I explained to her, we prayed, and we talked about it, and she said, she lives in Skipback. Do you think it would be okay if I, you know, encourage her to come to your church? I was like, absolutely, anytime. And it was just an interesting God connection and kind of an intermission from like what Jen is talking about. All these things like, so many things to get agitated and worried about. And here it is, just this phone call from this woman I just started connecting with and meeting with. And she happens to be connecting and meeting with this other woman who just happens to live here in Skipback. And it's like, God's goodness and glory. Like, just like this little intermission. You're just like, yes, thanks, God. You know, I needed that. I needed that reminder that you are good and that you're working. And we know it, right? We know it in our minds, but sometimes we just need to, like, get that. And talking with Janine too Thursday, she's really experiencing a lot of God's goodness and movement in her life. And it's fun to talk to people and hear how people are experiencing God these days. My other glory goodness intermission was a little different. I think it showed the holiness and glory of God in a way that I did not anticipate. This was a webinar that I listened to. It was 7 black women, 2 of them whom I know really well, and they are on this webinar. So these webinars are really weird because they're like people talking to each other, and you're watching in, right? So it's kind of like you're in this private conversation almost. So as soon as I entered the webinar, I was like, wow. I just felt like this presence, like this, just like this godly, sacred space kind of presence. And because I knew 2 of the women, you know, I paid special attention to what they were saying. And they said some really hard things and some really difficult things. Like, they all said that none of them have, like, good female white friends. Like, they have acquaintances, but they don't have friends. And I was like, wow, that's really strong, and it's really hard to hear. Another woman said, yeah, the Jesus that I see in white church is not my Jesus. And I was like, it made me so, like, sad. And so, but it was that space, it was that, that holy space where people could talk like they would talk to friends, right? And you get to look into the conversation. They said a lot of very positive things as well, and some, you know, had testimony about what God was doing in their life. But those are just 2 examples, right? And I'm sure that you have your own examples from this week, because I feel like God is always, right? He's always trying to show us His glory and His goodness. So the story that I'm referring to from Exodus, it talks about, it's a story about Moses talking to God. And Exodus 33:14 says, the Lord replied, I will go up with you and I will give you success. For Moses had said, if you aren't going with us, don't let us move a step from this place. And if you don't go with us, who will ever know that I and my people have found favor with you and that we are different from any other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord had replied to Moses, yes, I will do what you have asked, for certainly you have found favor with me and you are my friend. Then Moses asked to see God's glory. And the Lord replied, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will announce to you the meaning of my name, Jehovah, the Lord. I show kindness and mercy to anyone I want to. This goes back to kind of this search that I have had my whole life for this understanding of what is God's glory, right? What is God's glory? How do we experience God's glory? It's something, you know, we sang this morning, the holy, 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 right? I think those when we sing those kinds of songs, that's part of us experiencing God's glory and holiness. But these verses make this really interesting connection between God's glory and God's goodness. So God's always doing things so that God will be glorified, right? And they're good things. They're things that make us want to honor and respect and worship God. But there's also in here, so glory is with goodness, but there's also in here like a personal peace, right? I will announce to you the meaning of my name, Jehovah the Lord. So it's not just in God's glory, it's not just God's goodness that God wants us to see, but he wants us to see him. He wants us to see who God is, that God is goodness, but that God is I am, and that God is provider, and God is all those things. And he calls Moses in these verses a friend, right? So in this glory, it's not so out there that it's not that it can't be touched by us, right? That we can't experience it. Sometimes when we talk about glory, or people have talked about glory, I thought, well, that's something that's like out there. It's not real. It's just something that, like, in those few moments, you know, you might just barely touch just a little bit of a sense, but then you just go back to being regular again. But I don't think that that's what God means. I think God wants us to be always, right, in that glory, always in that relationship, always paying attention. And the intermissions are good, right? Like, how can we start blending the anger and at the injustice and the frustration? How can we start blending those with God's goodness and glory? How can we see all those things together and how God's working these things out? And so I want more than just a glory intermission. I want our goodness intermission. I want to live there, right? I want to live in God's glory and goodness. And God says, I will show kindness and mercy to anyone I want to. So the story here that we're walking into starts back in Exodus 13. At last, right? At last, Pharaoh lets the people go. And God decides not to lead them through the lands of the Philistines, even though that was the most direct route. If you look at the map, you can see how close Egypt is to the promised land. But God didn't lead them that way. He led them a different way, a longer route. And part of the reason was that God felt that people might be discouraged by having to fight their way through. The Philistines were a warrior people, and the Israelites had been slaves, and even though they had things with them to fight with, God was afraid they might be discouraged and they might return to Egypt. So God led them along a route through the Red Sea wilderness, and God did this for God's glory and to show God's goodness. And the Lord guided them by a pillar of cloud during the daytime and a pillar of fire at night, so they could travel by day or by night. And the cloud and the fire were never out of their sight. And God did this for God's glory and to show God's goodness. In Exodus 14, we see that that God instructed Moses to go down between by the sea and to camp along the shore, the Red Sea. And the verse, Exodus 14, verse 3 says, now Pharaoh will think the Israelites are trapped now between the desert and the sea. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I have planned this to gain great honor and glory over Pharaoh and all his armies, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. And God did this. God trapped them. God led them to a place of danger, right? Supposed danger, right? And they felt danger. They felt in fear for sure, for his glory and for his goodness. And the Egyptian army came, and the people of Israel saw them in the distance, speeding after them, and they were terribly frightened, and they cried out to the Lord to help them. And they turned against Moses, whining, why have you brought us out here to die in the desert? Because there were not enough graves for us in Egypt? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Isn't this what we told you while we were slaves, to leave us alone? We said it would be better for the slave to be slaves to the Egyptians than dead in the wilderness. But Moses told the people, do not be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch, and you will see the wonderful way the Lord will rescue you today. The Egyptians you are looking at, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you, and you won't need to lift a finger. God did this for God's glory and to show God's goodness. And that's what I mean, right, about this idea that we that these things that we are upset and angry about, these things that we see that we're afraid of, right, that God has this other plan. He has this other thing going on. And God's always working out of his glory and out of his goodness. He's always working in ways that we might not be able to see, but eventually, right, like it says, the Egyptians you are looking at, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you, and you won't even need to lift a finger. And there's this song of victory, right, that Miriam writes afterwards, that they sing together, and they probably sang many times after that to remind them of what had happened there for God's glory. In Exodus 16, we see again that the people are speaking bitterly against Moses and Aaron. Oh, if we were only back in Egypt and that the Lord had killed us there, for there we had plenty to eat, but now you have brought us to this wilderness to kill us with starvation. And the Lord said to Moses, look, I'm going to rain down food from heaven for them. Everyone can go out each day and gather as much food as he or she needs. And God did this for God's glory and to show his goodness. And God fed them with manna for 40 years. And another story in Exodus 17 where there's no water and God and the same complaints, right? We're going to die out here. Why did you bring us out here? And Moses comes to God and he says, what can I do? They're almost ready to stone me. And God tells Moses to strike with his rod, the same one that you struck the Nile with, and water will come pouring out for everyone. And Moses did as he was told, and the water gushed out. And God did this for God's glory and to show his goodness. There's many, many, many stories. These are all stories from all the way from Exodus 13 all the way to Exodus 31. Starting Exodus 19, God starts giving instructions to the Israelites. They arrive at Mount Sinai, and he starts giving them instructions. He talks to them about the different things that they need to do to obey God and keep their part of the commandments, the commitment to God. And God promises that that they will be God's own little flock from among all the nations of the earth, and that God, and that they would be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And God pulled them, God instructed them for God's glory and for God's goodness. And the last set of instructions that God gives, I think maybe most of you know, that Moses goes up, right, on Mount Sinai. He's up there for a long time, and God gives him two tablets of stone on which the Ten Commandments are written. And Moses up there for a while, and while Moses is up there, the people go to Aaron. These people, they go to Aaron and they say, look, make a God to lead us, for this fellow Moses who has brought us here from Egypt has disappeared and something must have happened to him. And Aaron takes the jewelry that they give him and he makes a golden calf out of them, and the people begin to worship the golden calf. And the Lord tells Moses up on the mount, he says, quick, go on down, for your people that you have brought, now they're not God's people anymore, right? They're your people. It's the same thing that happens in families, right? My husband's like, and your children. I'm like, wait, yesterday they were our children, now they're my children. Okay. gone down, for your people that you brought from Egypt have defiled themselves and have abandoned all my laws. They have molded themselves a calf, worshipped it, and sacrificed it. And they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of Egypt. And then the Lord said, I have seen what a stubborn, rebellious lot these people are. Now leave me alone, and my anger shall blaze out against them and destroy them all. And I will make you, Moses, into a great nation instead of them. And then Moses, and then the Lord says, bless. I skipped a little section there. And then Moses comes down from the mountain, right? You know the story. And he's so angry what he sees. He takes the tablets and he throws them down on the ground. And there's actually two very strong punishments that happened to the Israelites that day. And then the next chapter, the Lord says to Moses, lead these people that you brought out of Egypt to the land I promised. I will send an angel before you. It is a land of flowing with milk and honey, but I will not travel with you. For you are a stubborn and unruly people, and I would be tempted to destroy you along the way. Just reading those words, it's like, wow, right? I'll send an angel. The angel will protect you and take care of you, but I'm not going to, my glory, right? My glory, my goodness is not going to go with you. And Moses talks with God, and he says, you've been telling me, take these people to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You say that you're my friend and I have found favor with you. Please, if this is really so, guide me clearly along the way you want me to travel, so that I will understand you and walk acceptably before you. And don't forget that this nation is your people. So Moses goes back and he reminds, you know, take these people. God said, you take your people. And Moses reminds God that this nation is your people. And so the Lord relents and he replies and he says, I myself will go with you. My glory will go with you. My goodness will go with you. My presence will go with you and give you success. And Moses said, if you aren't going with us, don't let us move a step from this place. If you don't go with us, who will ever know that I and my people have found favor with you and that we are different from any other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord replies to Moses, yes, I will do what you have asked, for you certainly have found favor with me and you are my friend. And then Moses asked to see God's glory. The Lord replied, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will announce to you the meaning of my name, Jehovah the Lord. I will show kindness and mercy to anyone I want to, but you may not see the glory of my face, for man may not see me and live. However, stand here on this rock beside me. Or there's another version, right? It says, and when my glory goes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but not my face. So the glory and the goodness that we glimpse from God is just a tiny, teeny, tiny little fraction of God's glory and goodness. And Moses asked to see God's glory, and in this in the Hebrew, the kavod means glory, respect, honor, majesty. And then this strange answer from God that says, I will make my goodness pass before you. That God's glory is indeed God's goodness. That God's glory is indeed God's presence. And that we only see a teeny tiny little part and glimpses of it, right? But I think if that is our prayer, right, to see the glory of God, Lord, show me your glory. That God will keep showing us his goodness. That God will keep showing us his presence. That God will keep showing us who he is in ways that will remind us, not just a goodness and glory intermission, but that will remind us anytime, anywhere, that God is good. Now, part of the reason that I picked this story, apart from the glory and goodness piece, was this piece about where Moses says, if you aren't going with us, don't let us move a step from this place. And this resonated with me because of our stance here at Wellspring, right? Where we've been processing, getting a new pastor, and we've been praying, right? That's been our stance. Like, Lord, we're going to go wherever you're taking us, right? We want to go wherever you're going with us. And we don't want to go in any direction where you're not going. Like, we might be desperate for a pastor, but we don't want any old pastor. We want the pastor that you have for us, right? We don't want just somebody with the title pastor. We want the person that you have chosen for us. And if we have to wait a year or 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, whatever it is, we'll work that part out. But we want who you want for us. And I think that I did listen to the sermon that Beth preached last Sunday, and I think that we have high expectations here at Wellspring, right? I mean, you had a pastor here who ministered the Word of God for 17, 18 years, right? And when it was time for him to go home, he showed you how to face death with courage and hope. He showed you what it was like to be confident in the love and presence of God. And so you know God's glory. You know God's goodness. You know how good God can be even in the face of death, right? You know what good leadership looks like. And you know my story, right? You know that when I heard, even the first time I heard that Pastor Mike was ill, in that moment that I heard it, the Spirit of God nudged me and said, that's your space. God had promised me. I was at North Sound New Life for 23 years. I was pastor there for 10 years. For the first 2 or 3 years of my pastoring there at North Sound New Life, I was like, Lord, I got to go. I can't take this anymore. This is too hard. I can't do this anymore. They're not going in the direction I want to go. I can't be here anymore. And God just kept saying, wait, wait. And I said the same thing. Okay, well, until you move me from this place, until you show me a new space, I'm staying here because this is where you're calling me. This is where you're faithful. And finally, one night I had a dream where God said, okay, I have a new space for you. And I got up, and the next week or so, I sent my letter of resignation. I said, I will be here till the end of the year. And I felt peace, right? When God goes with us somewhere, right, we feel peace. We know that we're going in the right direction. If God is not going with us, if I would have quit 2 years early, then something different would have happened in my life, right? I wouldn't have learned some of the things I needed to learn. But so I was off for a year visiting churches, and my full intention was to go back to North Central Life as a member, right? Not as a pastor. But as soon as I heard Randy say, I just want everyone to know, this in a staff meeting, Mike Manessis just found out he has cancer. In that moment, God was like, that's your place. And I was like, wow. And so I talked to Randy about it, and I talked to Steve about it, and they were like, absolutely. We absolutely can see you there. And so my point in telling you this is that I know that Wellspring has seen how God leads, right? You know what it feels like when God's leading in a specific direction. And I personally think it is happening again. I don't have to be the one. I don't make the decision, right? But I, from the first time I talked to Beth, I felt like she was the right one for here. And each time it's different, right? Each person is different. I'm not Mike, and Beth is not me, right? So just be careful, right? Be careful as you think about this, right? That you're basing your decision on this sense that God is with you, right? This sense that God's saying, yeah, I'm in this. I am with you, and I will go with you. And this is my plan. Okay? And I just want to say, too, that I don't want anybody to worry about me. Like, don't worry about me and my feelings, right? This year and a half here has been a complete and total blessing for me. I knew that it wasn't going to last 5-10 years. I knew that coming in. But I am glad that it lasted a year and a half. And I know that God's plans for me are not to stay here. And so I just want you to remember that, you know, like, this is not, I mean, maybe you're not even thinking this way, but I just want you to know that you're not in any way, shape, or form. This is a very different decision, right? Because the pastor, the interim pastor, is right here, right? You're not hurting my feelings, right? You are choosing based on what God is speaking into your hearts and minds, right? And I will miss all of you. It will be hard for me to go, but it is the right thing, right? It is the right thing for me and for you. Okay? All right, I got off my notes a little bit, of course. I didn't know if you all felt a need to talk together about any of this. So we'll give a little bit of time after, you know, for the sharing time, sermon response time, to talk about a little bit about this transition. But I just want you to know that, I mean, I hear that in these verses, and I know that that's your heart, that you don't want to go anywhere that God doesn't want you to go. And so you can trust that God is leading you in His glory and goodness. So back to my notes. The glory and goodness of God stands in the face of our personal troubles and challenges. The glory and goodness of God invites us to see that even when the Egyptians are headed toward the desert, and even when they couldn't see a way out, that God was with them, that God had planned, God had gone before them, He had plans. And even when we're wandering in the desert, or we doesn't seem to be food or water or basic sustenance, or when we're not sure where to go next, or we're waiting for instruction, that the glory of God helps us to trust and hold fast, even when we read the news and want to despair over the state of the world, the suffering in the world. There is not enough goodness in the world, for sure. There's not enough goodness in people. There's not enough goodness in us. That we are not good except through the power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. And often we're not conditioned to see good. I always joke with my husband. He comes in the house and he's like, "Why is that thing on the floor?" Like, so you couldn't see the delicious food on the table. You couldn't see how clean the kitchen floor looks. You couldn't see, you know, that the babies are, you know, not anymore, but you saw that little paper on the floor, right? We're not, but that's how we all are, right? We're not conditioned sometimes to see goodness, but God is asking us to see His glory and His goodness. God is asking us to see how God operates, right? It's who God is to be good. It's who God is to be kind and merciful. And it's who we are meant to be. So we can ask like Moses did. We can ask, right, to see God's glory. We can ask to see God's goodness. And God will show it to us time and time again. And we can take every situation in our lives. There's no situation, right? Becky, we were talking about Becky's dad's heart attack, right? He lives alone. And nobody wants to have a heart attack, but he had a heart attack when he was alone, things could have been really different, right? And so you say, well, God's not good in the heart attack, but God was good in the fact that He was with them at the time, and that He can now be cared for by Kaylee, another person that Kaylee has to take care of, right? So God's goodness, right? So that's how we, you know, like we learn to see things with that different filter. And is there anything really that God's goodness can't stand against, right? In every bad, horrible situation, God's goodness can shine through. God's goodness can help us make it through. God is working God's purposes out for God's glory and to show God's goodness. And Habakkuk, it says, the time will come when all the earth is filled, as the waters fill the sea, with awareness of the glory of God. I think I have time to read this yet. There's some verses in Ephesians 1. That talk about, it's a letter to the Ephesians, right, to the church in Ephesus. And I hear the words resonate for Wellspring, for us today. So Ephesians 1:1 says, dear Christian friends at Ephesus, or in today's case, Wellspring, ever loyal to the Lord. This is Paul writing to you, chosen by God to be Jesus Christ's messenger. May God's blessing and peace be yours, sent to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. How we praise God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in heaven because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before He made the world, God chose us to be His very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in His eyes without a single fault, we who stand before Him covered with His love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us, and He did this because He wanted to. Now all praise to God, all glory to God for His wonderful kindness and goodness to us and His favor that He poured out upon us because we belong to His dearly beloved Son. So overflowing is His kindness toward us that He took away all of our sins through the blood of His Son by whom we are saved, and He has showered upon us the riches of His grace for how well He understands us and knows what is best for us at all times. God has told us His secret reason for sending Christ, a plan He decided on in mercy long ago, and this was His purpose, that when the time is ripe, He will gather us all together from wherever we are, in heaven or on earth, to be with Him in Christ forever. Moreover, because of what Christ has done, we have become gifts to God that He delights in. You are gifts to God. Each of you that God delights in. For as part of God's sovereign plan, we were chosen from the beginning to be His, and all things happened just as He decided long ago. God's purpose in this was that we would praise God and give glory to Him for doing these mighty things for us, who were the first to trust in Christ. I know that there's much more that I need to learn about the glory and goodness of God. I am sure that it would take me the rest of my lifetime to continue to understand, and probably will need to learn and experience the fullness in heaven. But what did you hear today? Or how did the Spirit move in your heart today? What can you add to this? What do you know about God's glory and goodness? Or about what's going on here in our process, in the world? What do you have to share?